Hey, everybody, it's the Gootscast Afternoon Edition. We'll be back tonight. We're covering night three of WrestleMania week. We're going to be talking about AEW Dynamite and night one of NXT Stand and Deliver. But Andrew Lee, last night I couldn't make it because I was at a birthday party. Andrew Lee was at a meeting for people that hate women. So now we're gonna get into it. We're going to cover Dynamite first because I just finished watching that. I got to say, Andrew Lee, bro, NXT has become the show that Dynamite promised it was going to be. Dynamite is no longer the show they sold the fucking wrestling fans.
Can you clarify that for people who are not familiar with what you're talking
Cody
about?
Cody Rhodes announced Dynamite and AEW.
Remember, this is before they actually
before had. They went on the air. They were like, it's going to be pure matches. It's going to be a sports presentation. No angles, no stupid storylines, no soap operas. Just matches, matches, matches. And wins and losses are going to count. Matches, 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 matches. And now it's fucking cheesy promos and matches that aren't that good. We were promised like the next level of athleticism, and I'm getting fucking WCW 2000 shit in this ring.
So, yeah, he didn't use those exact words, but yeah, you're right. He was like, it's going to be more sports-based. Wins and losses matters. This is the alternative. Is the word he used, the key word, I believe, alternative to WWE. It's not. It's the same thing as WWE. NXT is actually the alternative.
Yes.
You know, if you think about it, you know?
It is. There was not one sketch on this show. Even in the last NXT pay-per-view, there was a sketch with Cameron Grimes, but that was actually fun. I'll give that to Cameron Grimes.
Yeah, and it was more like a music video, so I don't.
But like, there was like not even like a sketch or a joke or anything. It was match, 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 match. Good night. Go fuck yourself. You know. And the action was
there was one little like teaser video. But
oh yeah, but that's all right because that's hyping up someone who could who's gonna come in and have match, 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 match.
Yeah, I'm just bringing it up because I don't want some jerk off to listen to this and be like, what the fuck is he talking about? There was one. I'm like, yeah, we know.
But it wasn't like jokey. It was like,
no, it wasn't. And you're right. It's hyping up
Dave. Dynamite, honestly, Dynamite should be doing more of that. Dynamite should be doing more of that when they're bringing in Ryan Demon or they're bringing in fucking the guy who fought. I don't even remember the guy. He looked like he came out of NWA. The guy who fought fucking Darby Allin tonight.
Oh, JD Drake.
Yeah. Give me a fucking video before this fucking guy just slobbers on. Yeah, you're supposed to watch our 90 hours of YouTube
show. No, you know what? That's a very good point that you made. Because that was the argument you were making about how you hate it that in AEW, they just debuted guys on Dynamite, with the assumption that everybody's watching Dark and know these people.
Yeah.
But they don't. And they would do a better job if they were like, have these guys on Dark, but then during Dynamite, maybe do a thing of like Ryan Nemeth coming next week, you know, like a little teaser or whatever, something like that, right? Yeah, because you're not the only one who's felt that way. And I've been kind of being very lenient on them about that. But when I'm watching these like this is basically Taya Valkyrie. Right?
Taya Valkyrie, yeah.
Yeah, and when I'm seeing these videos, I'm like, yeah, he's absolutely right. Like, I don't know why you can't do this if you're AEW. Why can't you do these little teaser videos?
Yeah, and like Taya Valkyrie, I'll admit, if I was in charge of WWE, I just would have had her walk out with John Morrison one week and been like, oh, that's his wife. Because I just would assume that everybody knows her, but it's smart that they're not assuming. They're like, you know what, we're going to present her differently. We're going to make her look different. We want you excited because even for people like me and you who know her and her back acne, it's going to be a very exciting moment to see her new character on Tuesday, you know?
Yes. And if you don't know who she is, you're intrigued by this.
Yeah.
You know? Just like a dog. And you're like, you only got to see her ankles today, you know? It's like, yeah, that's a dog. I don't like that dog. I want the other dog. Yeah. I want the money dog. I want Matilda.
big money Matilda. All right. So let's get into Dynamite. I got a lot to say.
Definitely covering Dynamite first, okay? It starts off with the Inner Circle. They arrive in limousine. They're like, oh, they're looking very serious. And they show shots of the crowd because this is live. And they make it a point to show signs where they go, Wednesday nights belongs to Dynamite, because this is the last matchup between NXT and Dynamite head to head on Wednesday. So they're like showing signs. Oh, Wednesday nights belong to Dynamite. Arr! I'm like, all right, we get it. We get it. We go to match number one. Yeah. I don't want people to, I don't want to hear any more of this. Only WWE is petty. They're not. All right. They put themselves on Wednesday night. But, and yes, in the beginning, AEW took it gracefully. But since then, they have not been graceful. It's all a little, it's like little subtle shots every once in a while. And I, you know, then there's a reason why they're doing this too. Because they realize they're trying to generate conflict just so that they could get more like people interested. They're trying their best to like nudge the Giant, and they don't like Giant's not moving. You know, it's just
I think the only reason they went to Tuesdays is because of hockey. I know they're trying to make it that like Dynamite won the war, but USA was just like, we want to show hockey on Wednesday, so fucking
yeah. Let's see how they do against hockey.
Give you $1 billion. Now we want to make some money off hockey. So move your
yeah. I mean, to be fair, if NXT was getting crazy ratings, right?
Oh yeah, you know what though. The difference between the ad money you can make in hockey and wrestling. So
what?
There's a difference in the ad money. Like they can charge more for ads.
Oh yeah, you're probably right. So even if they were getting crazy amounts of ratings, yeah, they would still would have gotten moved. Yeah,
like,
because
the NFL went to USA and was like, we want to put Monday Night Football in USA, they would move Raw because it's like, we're gonna make so much money off this deal.
Yes.
Makes, sure. Even though Raw is like killing it in ratings, well, not anymore. Raw still does better than half the shit they have on. Raw would have to go to either another network or fucking another night.
Yeah, you're right. Overall, real sports.
Yeah.
Don't get butt hurt, guys. Real sports will always generate more revenue. Yeah.
Yeah. So if NFL went to, but NFL never will go to USA. But if they did, Vince would just be like, well, I don't think Vince would care. He got his $1 billion. He'd be like, put us on Sci-Fi.
Yeah. All right, so Hangman, first matchup, it is Hangman Page versus Max Caster. Max comes out rapping, freestyling. He's got Anthony Bones with him. I thought it was a good rap. Mentioned Joe Biden slipping, Lil Nas X, and he's about to say suck his dick, and then he pulled the mic away. There's a lot. There's a few fucking mistakes in this match, and Hangman Page ultimately hits the buckshot lariat to win. Not a good opening match. It was okay.
Not a good match. I have yet to see Hangman Page have a great match on in AEW.
He had a good match with Omega.
I didn't see that.
Not on Dynamite.
Maybe one day I will, but just not today. Not when they're charging $97 for these fucking stupid movies. Mm-hmm. This was good. I like the fact that they're finally hyping up Adam Page as a real legit guy. I feel like, though, they're going to lose the plot, especially with what happened in the main event later on. But, like, literally the way Jim Ross was setting it up, Jim Ross was setting it up really well to build towards Page and Omega at All Out. No, Double or Nothing, I guess, is the next one. And
yeah.
I think they do that. But I know, I have a feeling they're not going to do that.
I mean, yeah, they did a great job of how Page is on a winning streak. And if he wins this, he's still, like, he's, like, the number one contender. And they did. Interesting thing to note, people have to understand, is that Page was in the Bullet Club as well. He was he was like the whipping boy for a time in the Bullet Club. So it would be really interesting how, like, I wouldn't be surprised though if they like he turns heel. He's like, I'm back in the team as well. You know,
I will talk about it at the end of the show. But like, if he's the number one contender, why isn't he like, I want my title shot? Why is he? If you tell me I'm the number one contender, right? You're the number one contender. All right, where's my title shot? Oh no, you have to fight Max Caster on fucking no. Why? No, I'm not fighting Max Caster. I want my.
Oh well, the reason why they were having it was Max Caster was on a win streak too.
Okay,
so it was kind of like
Max Caster. I should literally like I don't need to find anyone else. Give me Kenny Omega.
After he beats Max Caster.
Well, that if this is real, then he should go up to Tony Khan and be like, where's my title shot? Give me a title shot. I'm the number one contender. What do I have to keep fighting guys for?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
What am I, Kurt? What am I, the fucking, what is this, the cowboy guys? I just have to keep waiting. Who is the guy with the fucking, the guy, the cruiserweight that had the title shot for months and never
Kurt Stallion, yeah.
Is it like a cowboy gimmick? You just become number one contender and you never get a title shot?
Yeah. Listen, Tony O'Khan, where's my title shot?
Yeah.
We should call him that now. Mm-hmm. Tony O'Khan from now on. I like that. That's very funny.
Oh, man, Tony.
No, because it's like the great O'Khan. It's Tony
O'Khan. Oh, yeah. I love it.
The Death Triangle, they are in the ring with Tony Schiavone, about to get interviewed when the best friends interrupt. And this is Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, the returned Trent Barretta, and the returned Chris Statlander are all in the group. And it's kind of confusing because both teams are supposed to be good guy teams. So, like, why are they interrupting each other? And on the Tron, I thought this was actually done very well. On the Tron, they show the recaps of why best friends have a problem with Death Triangle. When they were heels, they used to beat the crap out of these guys. So they were like, you know, like, we didn't forget. And even though it's been like half a year, we didn't forget. And then Pac was like, I know you guys really wanted the belt. So it looks like they're going to be building something between these two teams. I thought this was okay. I thought it was all right.
It was okay. I would have been more excited if Orange Cassidy was like, I don't give a shit about your title shot. I want a one-on-one match with Neville.
Yeah, yeah. It was like when – you're right. You're right. Because they come out and they go, we didn't forget what you guys did. And they show all these moments where they're getting sucker punched. And then Pac goes, I know you guys just really want the title shots. And then these guys are just like, yeah. Like,
what? Yeah, like, I would – because I kind of want to see Orange Cassidy versus – I didn't see that first match, but the highlights look good.
I think you could watch it on YouTube. That first match was really good.
Yeah. So I don't know why, like, we didn't forget that you beat the shit out of us. And they're like, whatever. And they're like, yeah, whatever as well. But, you know, like
– yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just feel like Chuck Taylor just comes across so bad. Everything he does.
A lot of people say that about Chuck Taylor, but I don't – see it. Like, I don't think, you know, he looks because bad.
The internet made him a bigger deal. Like, internet fans love him, but like a regular, like, I don't follow that shit. So to me, he just looks like some out of shape guy who like carries him. He carry, you know, I don't know. I just like that. There's no, yeah, way. There's no way this guy should be beating Rusev in a feud. Sorry.
Yeah, but like his role is not like he's like ever in the main event. He hasn't even held a tag team title. You know?
I know, he just looks so stupid.
I like his movesets okay, and he doesn't have he doesn't have a good body, but he's not like JD Drake bad, you know? So I'm like, it's fine. Like, I don't mind him. I don't mind the role he's in. Let's just say that. I don't mind the role he's in. Then the Inner Circle comes out. They're all back together, and Chris Jericho starts cutting a promo. Basically, he's the only one who's gonna be talking. And he shits on the new Smack, MJF stable, the Pinnacle. Calls them the Pineapple. Get it, guys? Oh, it's hilarious. Go. And he's like, MJF, I took you in because I wanted to keep you under my thumb, but you were smarter than me, blah, blah, blah. And he starts going off on every single one of them. And I thought this part was good. He starts going off of every single member of the Pinnacle, calling like how MJF is insecure after matches or whatever they would do. He would run to the back and check the internet and see if people were talking about him and stuff. And he's like, you're a mark for yourself. We call that in the business, you're a mark. I thought that was good. He made fun of Tully Blanchard, saying that he was like one of the, like, the third tier horseman,
which is true.
Yeah, yeah. Which was really funny. He was like, you're on there with like Paul Roma. What?
We always have to pretend this guy's a fucking legend. Finally someone.
Yeah, but that was funny. Yeah, yeah. I like the, because everything Jericho is saying in these promos, there's a little bit of truth hitting it. So that's what made it good. He talked about how he can't tell the difference between the FTR. He doesn't know which guy's which. And I thought, I laughed because there was a moment where, yeah, there was a time period where I
could not tell. Oh, I still feel that way.
Yeah, I felt that way about Ascension. I still don't know which one's which.
Oh, but I know Ascension because of the WWE video game, but I don't know these two.
Connor is the big one and Victor is a small one.
Connor's the big one. That's how I knew.
Okay.
It's also, Connor was on the original NXT, so season 3 or something. So, like, he looked – once you see him out of makeup and being himself, you remember who he is.
Okay, so when we're looking at FTR, Cash Wheeler is the guy with the hair. And
Dash Harwood is the bold one.
Dash Harwood
also, is the bold one. Dude, I think their WWE names are way better.
Yeah. But see, it's already like we're not 100% sure when we're talking about it. Like,
I forget their WWE names, but they were way better.
Dash Wilder was the guy with hair. Okay. Scott Dawson was the guy with the ball.
Okay. Yeah, those were better names.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. They were better names. And I'm sure if you asked them, they would be like, yeah, but we have no fucking choice. I'd be like,
Dax Wheeler. And I already forgot the other fucking name. Dax Wheeler. And what's the other name? What's the other stupid fucking
name?
No.
It's not Dax. It's Cash Wheeler. You fucked me up. Cash Wheeler.
Dude, these names are fucking horrible.
Cash Wheeler. And Dax Harwood. Yeah.
They just call themselves fucking Bully Blatchard and Barn Vanderson or something.
Yeah. But so Jericho's actually. He's spot on. He was like, I don't know. I can't tell. You guys might be the greatest thing. I can't tell which one's which. I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. To be fair, I still don't know which Buck is which. You know that? I don't know which one's Nat or Nick.
I don't think it matters.
Yeah.
I don't think they're watching.
Then he goes Sean Spears like, oh, you got a blonde mohawk. You're like, no, like you're rocking that in 2021? Come on, bro. Like, I thought it was pretty funny. And then he mentions that we're going to do a 5-on-5 blood and guts match on May 5th. And then there was this weird audio dub while here. Remember, this is a live show. And then something he said, they dubbed over it. I don't know what it was. Did you catch that weird dubbing?
No, I didn't catch that, no.
Oh, they dubbed over Jericho when he was like finishing up. I don't know what it was. But anyway, Pinnacle versus Inner Circle, May 5th, blood and guts. I like this promo, but I felt it was a little too long. What about you?
Yeah, I liked it, but also when he becomes a good guy, I feel like Jericho demanded to become a good guy because of all the backlash he was getting on social media about being a Trump supporter and his wife.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see that.
And he was like, maybe I think they think like they can fool people into like, if I'm a good guy on TV, they won't look for, you know, they won't look for ways that I'm a scumbag in real life, even though I am a scumbag. Mm-hmm. I liked it. It was a good promo, but like it's almost like he loses a lot of his edge when he's a good guy on TV.
Yeah, yeah. That happens to a lot of wrestlers. Once you become a good guy, you lose a lot of your edge.
Yeah, and I just thought, like, even the Inner Circle kind of looks stupider now. They just look like – it just looks – I'm definitely looking forward to the match, but, I mean
– Look at Drew McIntyre. He lost his edge when he became a good guy as well. Who's somebody who kept their edge when they were –
Austin and The Rock. And Foley.
Yeah, you're right. Good point.
And fuck it. Let me think of someone current.
Cohen Current.
John Moxley, I guess. Although he never has an edge. He just pretends he has an edge.
Boom! That's the fucking soundbite. All right. So,
I'm a little bit back to like years and years ago. People. It's Undertaker too. Whenever he goes, good or bad, he has an edge. So.
Yeah, that's true. He does.
And Triple H. Triple H, all of a sudden, Triple H sells more when he's a good guy. Just like, have you noticed that?
Like that heat, brother.
Triple H will get easily beaten up as a good guy. Like, whereas, like, I don't know. Triple H also kind of, I don't know. Anyway, it's all a thing.
All right, so Dasha is with Christian. Christian starts cutting a promo. It's a pretty good promo, but then Taz interrupts and he goes, I want to offer you a spot on my team, Taz. Don't answer now. Think about it and we'll come back to it. I like this. The promo was good. It was decent. Dude, he cuts a better promo than half the roster. Obviously, veteran. Yeah. And it was a good promo. And I like that now this is going to be his next promo. He's going to be working with probably some against these guys somehow.
Didn't he like challenge Kenny Omega like his first week or something? And they just dropped it.
Just faced him off. Yeah.
Anyway. Why would Taz want him on the team?
I don't know. Didn't he talk about it? He was saying, like, I know. No, he was saying something like I've worked with you. I know what you can do, and I would love you on my team.
Yeah, remember? But like the guy was retired for 7 years, so how do we know he can still do it?
I mean, he had a match against Kazarian last week. If you saw it, you're like, this guy can still go.
Yeah, he can still go, but he's just like Tazzle's young guys. He's building up all these young guys. Now he wants an old guy with them.
Yeah, that's true. I just
felt very forced because, like, Taz, like, first of all, Team Taz doesn't make any sense thematically. It just, like, seems like three guys they just shoved with Taz. But, like, like Ricky Starks and Brian Cage don't look good together. But, like, now it's like, now I want this old guy, Christian. Like, why don't you go for the Big Show?
Yeah, it's true. Well, Big Show hasn't wrestled yet.
Yeah, but Taz knows what he can do. Or was Taz not thinking?
Yeah, it doesn't kind of make any sense why
Taz is like Big Kane is like, oh, I'm gonna get Christian.
Yeah, but I think like, or maybe he was like, because they lost the Sting, he just realizes maybe one of the things we're missing from this factor is I need a veteran who can go with.
I think this is all gonna lead to Christian versus Ricky Starks. That'd be a good match though. So.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, I think it probably doesn't make that much sense, but I'm pretty sure the reason why they're this happening is because we want to put you in a program with these guys.
But I also feel like this is the same storyline as Matt Hardy and Hangman Page, where he's like, I want you to be part of my group. Or in the dark, you know, Hangman Page had like a storyline, the same thing. And the guy's like, I don't know. And the heel group is like trying.
You know, one thing that they do really badly on AEW is they do the same storyline. Everybody has the same storyline. Do you remember this? I remember one episode of Dynamite where they were doing the same thing like over and over and over again. It was like, yeah, I remember it was the episode where they were like, I'm going to get you by beating up a family member.
Remember? Yeah.
They did it to, the Bucks. They did it to, they did it to a whole bunch of people that night. I remember it was like, they did it.
Yeah,
like,
they beat up the Dark Order to annoy Hangman Page, I think.
Yeah. They did that. They did it like three or four times in one episode. So this is not like a new thing with AEW. It's a recurring issue that they have.
Yeah, like I would have said, like, are we really gonna drag out Christian thinking about joining Team Taz? Just have him outright say yes or no, like this second, and like move on.
AEW needs to do this thing where if they have one like storyline going for one set of guys, they need to make sure they don't do the same thing with the other set of guys. So it's kind of like if you're in wrestling and these two guys who are in a feud, like, I'm going to do this thing where I work on your arm. I'm going to be working on your arm. The other guys wrestling the next match should not be working on the arm.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same fucking thing. If you're going to do this thing where I'm doing a storyline where you're like, I'm trying to get you in the group and you don't want to be in it, then the other group shouldn't be doing it. They should just be doing we were having a dick measuring contest and my dick was smaller, so I'm mad.
Well, like, my other thing is like I there's just too many factions, and like one guy, this one reporter's like, oh, it's pretty obvious everyone complaining that there's too many factions, only watches WWE, they don't watch. It's like, no dude, it's like a faction done right, like, is like the main bad guy of the company, like NWO or Nexus or Revolution, you know what I mean, or the Four Horsemen, like they're like the boss.
But well, if you're like that's nine why. Like
that, who's the boss? Who's the?
That's why in the beginning of AEW, Inner Circle was working so well.
Yeah,
because they were like, it was like over, like they were really the only ones. Dark Order was it was really two guys at the time. It was really only two guys, and they were. There was only two groups in the beginning. It was the Inner Circle and then the Elite guys, mm-hmm. and they were building up to this Blood and Guts match in Newark, and then pandemic hit, and all of a sudden during the pandemic, Tony Khan forgot how to be a booker, and he just started fucking creating all these stables.
Because the other thing with these stables is like you know, with the Evolution or Four Horsemen, it's very apparent that group is there, or Legacy with that, even New Day, that group is there to protect the one guy, make sure that one guy's a champion. The other two guys don't want to be champions. They're just there to protect the guy. Yeah. But, like, how is every wrestler now just working for someone? Like, what happens in Team Taz, like, if there's only two belts. So if Ricky Starks and Brian Cage get the belts, what is Will Hobbs supposed to do? Like, oh, that's great. You know what I mean? Like if Ricky Stark gets the world title and Brian Cage gets the TNT title, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why is
that? No, yeah. So, like, a stable.
I don't understand this many groups' goals. What are their goals?
Yeah. So, a stable traditionally was like 3 to 4 people.
Even NWOs to protect Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Like, and it would be like two of those guys are going for the tags. One guy's going for that middle belt, mm-hmm. the secondary belt, and one guy's going for the championship. You know, classic Four Horsemen is the best example, you know, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know what the fuck they're doing with the stables. Yeah, I don't know.
Like if you're Shawn Spears, is the Pinnacle going to be excited that if you get a world title shot? Are they going to be like, yeah, Or are they going to be like, well, it's supposed to be for MJF? Like I'm saying in the story, you know what I mean?
I think if you're Sean Spears, you're just glad to be
lucky you have a job.
You're just glad to be there. I think, dude,
every time they mention him, I keep forgetting he's in the Pinnacle. And then when they mention him, it's like, well, they're not the Pinnacle then. Like, I don't know what the fuck they are. Like, just, they got to get rid of him.
Then they're not the Pinnacle. I get it.
Yeah. They're the subpar.
All right. So then they do this. This part was making me laugh so much. So AEW is on TNT. And TNT is owned by, who is it? Warner Brothers. Warner Media, and they also own HBO. And they also made Godzilla versus King Kong. So they do this corporate synergy thing where they have to like bring that other thing and promote it. They've done this before with that Morty cartoon.
Yeah, they had Mass. This is before I started actually watching.
But this one was like Godzilla and Kong, and Jarek's going, I love Godzilla and Kong. Did I mention how much I love?
You can tell he didn't like the movie. You can tell.
Oh yeah. He had to keep mentioning it. I think he was just. I think you could tell he's doing it sarcastically.
Yeah.
And they go like, "We have our own Godzilla and King Kong match. We got Jurassic Express versus Bear Country." And I started fucking laughing because, all right, I get the Luchasaurus being Godzilla.
Yeah.
But the bear is not a gorilla.
I know. It's just they had nothing else to go with. It was so funny.
It was so funny. Oh, so we're going to go to our... They do a whole video package of AEW's Godzilla versus King Kong.
Well, they kept mixing the footage of Godzilla and Kong with the... and, like, they had Godzilla roar, and it's Jungle Boy going like, ah! It's like, man, this is so bad.
Oh, we go to match number two. It's Jurassic Express versus Bear Country. In the opening moments of the match, there is a point where everybody fucking does, like, there's a dive outside and the Bear Country's supposed to catch Luchasaurus. Boulder looks like he hurt his fucking right bicep during that.
It's okay, though.
He starts pinching it and he starts really nursing it. And he is basically pretty much useless in this match from then on. It happened so early, he was not on point. There was a point where there's this thing that Boulder does where he catches both guys and he fucking throws them. He couldn't do that. He keeps favoring his arm. He does a lot of rest spots. Bronson does most of the work. Ultimately, at the end, Luchasaurus hits the Mesozoic Moonsault, which is the standing moonsault on Bear Brunson for a Jurassic Express to win. Not a good showing, but I think it's because Boulder was hurt and he was fucking working through it.
No, not a good showing. But I just think, again, this is just another average TV match. None of these matches are blowing me away. It's just like work is even not, dude. All these matches feel like dark matches, which is what's insane. Dynamite matches, say what you will, but every match on Dynamite about a year ago even felt like it was a big deal. And now it's just like, we're just going to have a match.
Yeah, but then two weeks ago, there was Britt Baker versus Thunder Rosa, which was, I'm going to go out and
say. Okay, well, I missed that match. But I'm saying like, I can only go by this episode. The work was very subpar from everyone.
Yeah, I'm like I said, to be fair, I'm trying to be fair. I think Bear Brunson hurt himself. And that's part of the reasons why. And he hurt himself early. It was like really early in the match. And I think he was out of it the whole rest of the time.
It just was, if I didn't see Godzilla versus Kong already, this match would make me not want to watch Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah.
It's such a bad job. Also, they spoiled the ending of the movie by having Jurassic Express win because Godzilla does win in the movie. So.
I didn't know that Godzilla wins.
Yeah, so they spoiled.
But isn't he the bad guy?
It's a whole thing. I won't tell you. There's a twist after he wins. I'll tell you. So you gotta watch it.
You could tell me after we log off because I don't really care.
Oh, Mechagodzilla shows up and attacks them both, and then they team up to attack Mechagodzilla.
Oh, I knew that part already.
Yeah, so you already know. That's a twist. Like, Godzilla wins, but then Mechagodzilla shows up, starts fucking up Godzilla, and King Kong is like, I'm going to work with you. They don't say that loud. You know, they just...
Oh. It doesn't matter, guys, because these guys are bears, and they have nothing to do with gorillas. Remember? That's so stupid.
Dude, what if Tony Khan was a racist and was like, it's going to be Private Party versus the Jurassic Express?
Jesus Christ. I could see them. Imagine they did something so terrible like that. Oh, now comes, in my opinion, was probably the best part of the show. QT Marshall cuts a promo on Cody Rhodes. He's sitting in the factory, the fucking training facility. And he cut a really good promo on Cody Rhodes. He goes, you know, you, Cody, you came on about how I'm your friend and how you rescued me and how you've given me a shot. And he's like, you already wrote, like, based on that, everybody wrote me off for it. Like, because of that, everybody already. Writing them off, by the way. What?
I'm still writing them off.
Yeah, but he made a good point. He was like, because that's how you presented me, like, I came off looking like a joke right off the beginning. Mm-hmm. And it's true. And then he goes, but I'm the one who did all the work. I'm the one who did all the training. I'm the one who does all the work behind the back. And you talk about somebody who's actually like a real, like a leech, a real parasite. Let's talk about you. It's like everything you've done, you've always done it because you surrounded yourself with better people who are better than you. Starting from his legacy days, when he comes to the indies working with Vanilla Midgets and all that. And then he goes over each member of the guys he's training. How about Aaron Solo's not just a boyfriend. Nick Camarado's just not just a body guy. And a go-go is like, he's like, was he, you know, how is he nothing in America when he's so big in Brazil? England. And then they do this thing where, so it's a good, I think it's a good promo. And then at the end, remember they're in the training facility, the Nightmare Factory, which is where they train all these new guys. And it's supposed to be Cody Rhodes' training facility. Nick Camarado gets a bucket of paint and he's supposed to throw it because there's like, it says Nightmare Factory behind him on the wall. And he's supposed to throw the bucket of paint onto the word that says Nightmare to just take away that part and just keep the word Factory. And he completely misses Nightmare. Right? Yeah, so I could tell they were just like, shit, we only had one shot at
this. They're like, whatever.
Yeah, but I did really enjoy this promo. I really liked it.
Okay, so I still think QT Marshall is a nobody and a nothing. And however, I don't think he has any future in the business. He looks already, I think they've already kind of killed him. However, his promo was good. But here's the thing. Here's the most important thing about this whole thing. And this is where they cannot fuck this up. A go-go, follow the other two guys. Do have a ton of potential. And Ogogo, you have to use this. And eventually you're going to have to sacrifice QT Marshall. But I mean is these guys are going to have to be like, just get the fuck out of here and go on their own. Ogogo's the star. And Ogogo, if he can work, I think he could be a real player in the company.
Yes. I'll even go one further. I think both Ogogo and Nick Camarado could be stars.
Okay. I think Ogogo, because the promo he cut was better than QT Marshall's. I think if you gave the entire promo to a... I'll say this. Yeah.
You called you shitty need, America.
You don't even need QT America Marshall. Break. You can have a go-go say the, all those points, and he probably would say them better.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll tell you, this is why I think this was a good promo. AEW does a lot of things where they do things, and they don't ever explain why it's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they never explain
why... Well, you're supposed to watch Being the Elite 47 yeah. times a week.
Oh, well, like for example, they never explained why MJF was trying to be in Inner Circle when he was building his own stable to begin with anyway. Like, never, that's never explained. They never explain a lot of shit. They never explain why Chris Statlander's with fucking Best Friends. But in this QT promo, they explain why he's so fucking, like, tired of Cody.
No, Rose. Yeah, no, that was good. I just don't think that there's a future in QT Marshall in any way, shape, or form.
But
they can use him to get over a go-go. And then when they're ready to have a go-go to go to the next level, he could be the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. And I think, what do you call it? I think that is what they're going to do. I'm going to put my faith in that. That is the route they're going to use. They're going to use QT, but ultimately it's to get these two guys over. And it's really funny how both you and I see absolutely nothing in Aaron Solo. It's really funny.
Well, I think if Aaron Solo actually talks about how this is going to sound crazy, but I think if he talks about how he's bitter that Bayley left him and makes that like his character, I think these AEW nerds will get behind him because that resonates with a lot of them. Because a lot of them hate women. Like, we joke about you hating women, but they do.
So if he makes his character. You know what? Actually, that would get him over. You're absolutely right. That would.
Yeah, if he made his character, I'm pissed that Bayley and me didn't work out and Bayley. Because, like, you know, a lot of them want to bang Bayley. And I think a lot of them have this feeling that if Bayley was in my life, she would treat me like shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, all these wrestling fans probably have this idea that if Bayley, I want to fuck Bayley, I want to fuck Lana, I want to fuck Mandy Rose. But if we were like, she was my coworker, she'd be so fucking mean to me. So if he taps into that, like, oh yeah, like she really broke my heart, I'm so fucking pissed, he would get over. He would get over because
no, I think you're right. You're absolutely right. If he was just like, because that's what people want him to talk about.
Yeah.
You know,
they mentioned it already, and I'm like, just ride that, just because he had like this miserable look on his face. And it's so funny because Bayley's like, just even though she doesn't match at WrestleMania, everyone just loves her. And even this, like her career. And this guy's like standing in a gym with fucking QT Marshall, and she like left him. So if he talk, like if he talks about that, that would be, I think, the nerd, these nerds, because they all hate these women, these nerds. They don't like them. Yeah. They do this fake woke shit.
I'll be honest. If he talked about it, I would be more interested in Aaron Solo, because I've been watching his dark matches, and I see nothing in him.
Yeah, well, look how much better.
People can say that's really shitty or whatever, but dude, I'm just being honest. I don't know him, and I'm not saying he's a bad person. I'm just saying, as a wrestler, I don't see anything in him. And when you're watching Dark, like, you can see who, like, for me at least, I'm like, I know this guy has something. Like, I felt that way about Nick Camarado. I felt that way about Bear Country. And I felt that way about JG Garrett and who's that? Fuck. I like Mbatu. I feel that way about Mbatu.
I have no idea who the fuck you're talking about, bro.
I do not feel that way about Aaron Solo. I just don't see any appeal.
There's nothing. This could be his way. He won't do it because I'm sure like Bayley would. Why are you talking about me on Dynamite? I'm trying to get my career over, you fucking. Why are you talking about me on this other show? I thought we had a mutual, but I'm trying to get over. My career is in the toilet. All I've noticed is the guy you broke up with. I have to ride this. Fuck.
Dude, if like I said, I see nothing in him.
I can see you're being upset. If he started
talking about that, I would totally get behind him. I would be like, dude, I want to hear more about this.
The reason why Matt Hardy, I think, got so over is people related to him with what happened with Lita. So
yeah,
because these guys, the reason why they sit on the internet and watch wrestling all day is because they get rejected by women. I mean, you know, like, I mean, I'm swinging. I'm swinging your pussy. I'm talking about these other guys. And I think that they relate to it. And that's why that was Matt Hardy chance, dude. That came from like people's souls back then. Because it's like, I know what that feels like. And not only are you being rejected by a woman, but you're not even being allowed to wrestle. You're not even being allowed to do what you love. And like, I think people relate to that shit way more. I think honestly, like if you're going to do soap opera stuff in AEW, it should be more about because they're not doing romance, except that stupid fucking Reginald thing that doesn't work. They're not doing stories that have romance anymore in WWE between men.
They're really
except
not.
Except for Otis, and that got him over. That got it. He got the money in the bank.
Yes.
So
yes,
do this. If you do this in AEW and you have like the male wrestler kind of upset that a girl broke up with him, these fucking nerds, because these are the biggest nerds on the planet, and these are the people that probably like really don't like women, they will get behind you. They will get behind stories like that.
As much as people will deny it, romance fucking sells.
Yeah.
You know, even in wrestling, romance sells.
That's why I always thought they should do John Silver and Anna Jay, like have like he has a crush on her and she just doesn't, she doesn't even realize it or rectify it. Then she gets with like Hangman
Page. I would like John Silver so much more if that was a storyline.
Like, because they're kind of hinting that the Dark Order kind of likes Anna Jay, but they're not going for it. Just fucking go for it. Just have John Silver say, I'm in love with Anna Jay. I'm in love
you
with
you. Know what they should do? They should just do all the guys are like, have a
crush on her. Like, well,
they should do all of them have a crush on her, but she's got a crush on Adam Page, but Adam Page doesn't like.
Adam Page has a crush on Kenny Omega.
Yeah, no. What they do is, John Silva finds out.
Adam Page doesn't even realize it because he's so focused on getting a Kenny Omega.
Yeah. And then what happens is John Silva finds out that like he's out of all the Dark Order, he has the biggest crush on Anna Jay. Mm-hmm. And then when he finds out that she secretly really likes Hangman Page, it starts turning
his
view on Hangman Page, which ultimately he like betrays him.
Well, like, and then you get to the big title match between Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. And it's the crowd's going wild, and Hangman Page is about, and then like you have to do this, shoot it creatively. Where all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone hits fucking Adam Page, and it's John Silver because he's in love with Anna Jay so much. He's like, "You stole Anna Jay from me. Now I'm going to take away your title shot."
Yeah, yeah. Because remember, the whole time, the whole thing what they've been doing was they've been building how out of all the Dark Order, John Silver loves Hangman Page the most.
Yeah.
And it would be like the ultimate betrayal. Dude, and then, dude, we should be fucking writing this shit. Tony O'Khan is a fucking idiot.
No, dude, like, yeah, because
how
like,
are you, if you're how gonna, are you not writing this storyline, we wrote this, we just set this like two minutes.
I just feel like if you're gonna start going into sports entertainment nonsense, go for the romance, like mix the men and women together because they're not doing that in WWE. So that,
yes,
and tap into how these nerds, these AEW losers, probably like, oh, you just always get rejected. All these women are just, they think they're too good for me. So have like your, you know, John Silver. Oh, God, I just want to be without a shame. Like, do it. Like, fucking.
Oh, my gosh, dude. They should totally do this.
They'll fucking, the Square Circle Red will be just masturbating all fucking day to this fucking nonsense.
I forgot where I was.
Oh, okay. We were too busy fantasy booking this all.
Too busy fantasy booking AEW. So, Tony Khan.
It'd be funny in real life. Anna Jay and John Silver just fucking hate each other, and that's why.
Yeah, that would be better though. That would be even better. Yeah. I think
that would make their sex hotter when they should have a live sex celebration on stage.
Yeah, you know why? Because if they hate each other, and then like backstage news, like, you know, like, oh, backstage they hate each other, and that news broke out, people would tune in more because I want to see how these guys are going to work together.
Yeah,
hate
each other. That'd be, I mean, she's injured now, so you can't do it yet. But
you know, you
can still do it.
You can still do it.
You know, being the elite, because that's what they do. Yeah. Everything. These fucking idiots.
Yeah, these fucking idiots. This is a storyline.
Can I tell you, dude? Be honest with you. Watching this show, it felt so much like not today's Impact, because that's an insult to AEW. It felt like Impact from like 10 years ago.
Remember I told you how the exploding ring, it was like the turning
point? It really was.
It really was, yeah.
It doesn't feel like, it just feels like it's...
It feels like a different company than I was watching like a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same company from a year ago, which is really weird. This is going to be the quickest burnout I think I'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Schiavone is in the ring with, I mean, he's interviewing Sting again.
Dude, how many weeks is it he's gonna interview Sting? Sting gets a word in, and then
like, I think that's a running joke that they're doing.
It's just so bad at this point. It's like,
yeah, it's a running joke that's not funny.
It's killing Sting. By the way, they've killed Sting.
They've killed it. Yeah, I legit think it's a running joke that they think it's really funny because I don't know. I think it's a joke that they're doing. And I think to Tony Khan, it's probably funny the same way, like, you know how like they'll be doing things on WWE that only one person finds funny and they keep doing that fucking thing over, but it's his show, so you can't say shit. It's kind of like that. Jake Roberts comes out. Jake Roberts needs to go away. He needs to go. You know what he needs to do? He needs to go like make it up to his family and just be a good grandpa or something like that. He has no business on the show anymore. He is always mugging for the fucking camera. Dude, you're like a grandpa. Your time is done.
Called him, though. Like, you have to...
I know.
They called him. He was minding his own business.
So, Lance Archer comes out, and he starts cutting a promo about how he's sick and tired of everyone else getting the spotlight. Like, why is Sting getting interviewed? I should be getting interviewed. I should be the guy who's main eventing. And Sting's like, yeah, you're right, I agree, why aren't you, what are you missing, Jake, fix this guy. Lance Archer is sandbagged by these two old fucks. Lance Archer is one of those guys who is too nice to speak up and be like dude you're killing my career with these two old fucks. Mm-hmm. Instead he's kind of like, thank you for hooking me up with these legends, and this is what's gonna kill him. He's fucking dying. He's dead in the water, dude.
Dude, he was been dead in the water. Like, I feel like they only brought him in so Cody could beat him for the title. And then, like, they just were like, I don't know what we're going to do with this guy after that. Like, they literally brought him in so Cody could look good. They haven't done anything with him. They make him look really dumb. Also, like, he's in his 40s now. And it's like, you got to do something with him now. It's now or never. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, are they really going to go for a match between Sting and this fucking guy? Like, dude, like, if I was this guy, I'd be like, why am I having a match with Sting?
Yeah.
I know he's probably, it's an honor. He can barely move. Like, I want to do something real. Like,
yeah, Archer should be, like, killing people every week and just building up, like, a monster.
I guarantee you, if he doesn't regret leaving New Japan, he's a ding dong.
Well, I listened to the interview, and he was, the reason why he left was because he was never under a contract with them.
Oh, okay. Well, that was the point. He was like, so he should be, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, he was like, why the fuck? He was like, I was been loyal to this company for so long. Why the fuck am I not under a contract? Why am I on a fucking night to night basis?
At least
they gave him.
And maybe he makes the money on t-shirts and shit.
Yeah, Tony Khan says, I'm giving you a contract. And then the next day, like, New Japan was like, we want to give you a contract. And he was just like, bro, if you had just come to me like a week before, we would never be in this situation.
No. Okay, so that makes sense. So, yeah, so maybe he's like, I don't care. They treat me like shit.
I bet he does regret.
Like, it is becoming like WCW, where there's so many people on the show that it's like, why do you have this many people on the show?
I would love to see him on NXT.
Who?
Lance Archer.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I would fire, if I was Tony Khan, I know he doesn't want to fire me because of the pandemic. Who gives a shit at this point? The pandemic's not going away, okay? Because we're just pretending it's going away. Dude, I would fire like 50 people from AEW tomorrow. And I guarantee you it would be 1,000 times better show.
Yeah, I would get rid of a lot of people too.
I would get rid of so many.
I would start with Jake Roberts too.
I would get rid of Jake Roberts. I would get rid of Lance Archer. I hate to say it. I would get rid of, fucking the guy from the Pinnacle.
Get rid of half the Dark Order.
Yeah.
I would. Like half, like you legit cut half of them out.
I would get rid of so many people on Dark. I would just tell them not to come back.
Yeah. So, by the way, it's important. It's a key thing to know. Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, who are both heels, are watching this whole thing happen with Lance Archer. They're probably going to be building a stable. Another stable. Yeah.
You know, because if I'm Lance Archer, I'd be like, yeah, I want to team with Ethan Page, the guy who fucking.
I want a team with Karate Man.
I want a team with the Karate Man. Oh, God. That's the thing. When I'm watching Ethan Page up there and he's making these stupid faces, I'm like, this is just worse than Impact now. Like, come on.
Start at the second hour at the 9 o'clock mar. We got Team Taz. They're arguing back. And Team Taz is like, Ricky, stop trying to instigate. We're all fine. Everything's fine in Team Taz. They've been doing this. Everything's fine. Since they lost this thing. That was like a month ago, dude.
I know, they don't know how to tell stories. This fucking company.
It's fine. We go to match number 3. It is Darby Allin versus JD Drake. Ooh. Okay. For starters, JD Drake came out with new gear where it covers up his fat.
Has he been on Dynamite at all?
Yes.
When?
Not wrestling. This is his first wrestling match, okay?
How does he get a title shot for his first wrestling match?
He's been winning on Dark.
And so that made him the number one contender?
Well, no, I think this was... No, it doesn't make him a number one contender. Because, dude, say what you will. They can say what they will, they want, but their wins and loss record does not matter. It doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Well, then we'll cut to something later that references that.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why this fucking fat loser... shows up on Dynamite, gets a title shot. Dude, this would be the equivalent. This would be the equivalent if fucking, I'm trying to, if fucking, with the Cowboy Kid.
But what do you call it? What's his fucking
Kurt
name?
Kurt Stallion.
Yeah, but Cody Rhodes was giving no-namers title shots.
Yeah, remember? But like, that's different. But like, this is like if Kurt Stallion just showed up on SmackDown, like, oh yeah, it's a title shot against Roman Reigns. And they're like, not even.
Yeah, I think the TNT title is supposed to be like set up for that. Anybody can fucking apply for that.
I know, but it's, dude, just then give
me. Because Cody set the precedence for that. That's the reason why I'm saying.
But I know, but this guy looks like such a fucking loser.
Well, this is what I think is happening. I think this was kind of like almost like a tryout match. Like, let's see how this guy does on the fucking big stage. Similar to kind of like what like Eddie Kingston was given. But this guy, he got a couple of first looks before. Mm-hmm. But this is his first like real like actual match instead of like a fucking like a one-sided match. And to his credit, he was smart enough to know that his appearance, he's got to change his appearance. And he got like new gear and it does look good. But he did not bring it. This guy, JD Drake, the beginning was slow. It looked at times like he didn't know what to do next. There were botches, like really bad, like in matches where Darby goes for a drop kick. It goes over this guy's head and he's just like, oh! Darby Allin hits the coffin drop for the win. I was not a good match.
No, I that's great, Tony Khan's giving guys shots. Mm-hmm. But you got to be more aware of who you're putting on TV with no explanation.
Yes.
I just don't think, say what you will about WCW or even ECW or even TNA, I just don't think any those companies wouldn't put a guy looks like this on TV with no explanation on their big show, especially when it's WrestleMania week. And just, he's got a title shot. I just think they wouldn't. I don't think even ECW would do that.
If you're going to look like this, you need to be a killer. You need to be like a guy who's just like, I'm going to, like super intense. I was waiting for, I was like, when is JD going to kick into next gear? I kept going like, when are you going to kick into next gear, bro?
Dude,
like,
when dude how about you give Kip Sabian that fucking title shot?
Yeah. Here's the thing. This was the one guy from the whole, like, Evolve Wrestling, like core group of guys that Gabe Sapolsky didn't bring over to WWE, and I'm starting to see why.
There's like so many guys on the roster doing nothing this week, like nothing, like less than nothing. Why can't they get the title shot? Like, why do you have, I get that you had the fucking Pinnacle run out, but why don't you have one of the guys in the Pinnacle get the title shot? Like, you have a bunch of guys doing nothing. You have a bunch of guys, Rusev did nothing. I don't need Rusev on Dark or Elevation. I don't need a lot of these guys. Have them get the title shot, bro. Like, fucking, it's just a waste of time. You have this show on TNT. You're paying these fucking assholes money. So I don't need this fucking fat loser to fucking, dude, go do some indie shows around the area. Get the fuck out of here. Like, come on, man.
I hate to say this, but I would cut JD Drake.
I don't need to say it. Dude, you fucking, come on, man. You can't employ... You can't put everyone like look, I gotta give this. Thank God they were smart enough to like never bring back Warhorse. Woo.
Oh yeah, that's true. That is
dude,
true.
They never brought back Warhorse.
Yeah, they never brought that guy back. Yo, by the way, I forgot to mention when Jurassic Express was fighting Bear Country, there was no Marco Stunt. Do you think they realized we gotta get this fucking kid away?
Well, they're probably because they're doing the King Kong thing, Godzilla, and it's like that guy's a little bit too far.
Yeah, they would have been funnier if they did a thing where they were both teams were standing in the ring and Marco Stunt like was like screaming away, like running away screaming, like he's like the kid.
Oh, you know what? I forgot. I gotta mention something else. This is what did they plug Jericho on the WWE Network?
No.
They should have, and I'll tell you what. They should have. They should have said, because CM Punk said Vince is lying Jericho on Austin's show because it shows he's not afraid of AEW.
What did CM Punk say?
He said the only reason Vince said yes is because he's not afraid of AEW. He doesn't see them as a threat. That's why
I don't think he sees them as a threat either.
No. So I think AEW should have been like, oh yeah, this weekend, make sure you check out Peacock and watch Jericho and Austin. And then if someone like Dave Meltzer asked Tony Khan, why would you do that? Be like, well, it's my guy. I want people to watch my guy. I want everyone to watch Jericho. Also, go ahead, watch WrestleMania. We don't have a show this weekend, so go ahead and watch WrestleMania, and you'll see that my company blows away that company on their best night. So that's fine. I hope all AEW fans watch nothing but Peacock on Sunday. And in fact, you know what? Tony and Jim Ross are going to plug it when Jericho walks out tonight. We're going to plug it because we want you to watch it because we're better than them.
Yeah,
and we're not afraid of them. You're not afraid of us. We're not afraid of you. Thanks for putting our guy on your show. Here's a couple plugs.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he didn't plug it. I don't think Tony O'Khan is that clever.
No, he's not,
yeah. Speaking of not being clever, so after Darby wins, Matt Hardy's giant stable come out, and they all attack him, and Sting comes out, and Sting and the Dark Order make the save. And then Tay Conte and fucking Bunny start fighting a little bit. And then we get Alex Marvez. He starts interviewing Chris Jericho. And then as the interview's happening, the Pinnacle comes out and starts beating the crap out of Chris Jericho. By the way, Chris Jericho only said one thing, because he's a good guy now. He was like, Alex, you look great today. Like, what, did you get a haircut or something like that?
Boom. Why is all of a sudden he likes...
Remember, I said
the only... They would rip on WWE for doing one thing.
Remember, I said the only good thing on this show I thought was QT's promo. Remember? I was like, that was the best part of this whole show. Pinnacle, they grab Jericho, they take him all the way to the ring, they start beating him up. Somebody had locked the rest of Inner Circle in. They're using an axe to get out. And then Mike Tyson's music hit, he comes out, and this is the reason why Sean Spears is in this team. He's the one who gets fucking beat up by Mike Tyson. Because that, I told you, that's the only reason why he's on this team. They needed somebody to take the pinfalls. And that's fine. That's fine. It's fine to have that. It's not a bad role. It's not a jobber role. It's an important role, I still think. And I'm glad Sean Spears is taking it gracefully. He gets beat up. The rest of Pinnacle are able to escape. And then the Inner Circle comes out, and they all stand together with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, who's probably like 105, is in way better shape than half the roster.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So fucking true, bro.
He was shirtless, and I was like, this guy should be fucking wrestling.
This guy should be champion of this stupid show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I do like the fact that they finally... I like the fact that Jericho and Tyson made up. I hope we never... I don't ever want to see Jericho have a match with Tyson. If Tyson's going to match with anyone, it shouldn't be Jericho. Why don't you be Cody or MJF? Again, like, I don't think Mike Tyson... you're wrong. He's a huge star. I just think it looks like, again, like we're ripping WWE off and you have Mike Tyson out there.
Yes. I feel that way. I don't know.
Look, if WCW got Mike Tyson in 2000, I wouldn't feel that way because he was still young, but he's so old at this point. It's like...
Unless he could do something that like Shaq did. You know when Shaq like took that table bump in that match? That was fun.
I mean, if you have MJF like make Tyson bleed and then you promote it, like he hits him from behind with a chair and Tyson's like bleeding, like he's willing, and then Tyson challenges MJF to a match at Double or Nothing, that could be interesting, but I don't know. I just feel like they need to get younger celebrities involved. Like, can't they get LeBron or Kevin Durant? Like, fucking...
No, I mean, you've seen the fucking NBA Twitter on fucking Jericho and AEW. No, they're not. They don't want to be involved.
LeBron's not on Twitter. I'm sure he'll pay LeBron. I know. Maybe they can have LeBron walk out to promote Space Jam 2. That's Warner Media.
Remember they were calling it like, what's this bootleg WWE? They're like,
It really is bootleg. Dude, this feels so much like bootleg WWE. It's fucking insane. They're
like, what's Chris Jericho wrestling? Why is Chris Jericho still wrestling on bootleg WWE? That was fucking sad, dude.
And Dave Meltzer like, that's just a minority. It's really a minority.
He's like, that's the majority. The
majority.
That's
whatever.
The weird minority. That's the
dude, majority. My friend every now and then tunes in AEW. Is like, what are they doing? Why is Tully Blanchard like one of their top guys? He doesn't make so much wrestling when we were kids. He's like, dude, what is this? Tully Blanchard is like a top guy? Like, bro, come on. This is your answer? Like, Tully Blanchard? Like,
I wish, can you imagine if like Tony O'Khan is like sitting with some of his like rich friends who are just like not in this business, right? And he's like, hey, do you want to see a new thing I'm like invested in, and the new thing that I'm like doing now is one of my projects? And he's just showing them this episode and they're just laughing their ass off. And he's just like, why is this old man or why is this fat guy being this guy? Yeah. And he's just like, has to like sit there and be like, well, see, the whole point is like, you know, he's like trying to
trying to appeal to everybody on my message board that I used to post in 2005. They love it.
So. Yeah. When you take someone who's not like just like an AEW enthusiast, like just like a lover of it, and you make them watch this, like it's such a fucking bad show.
Dude. So my friend is a homosexual, right? And my friend Chris, he's gay. And I'll go over his house to watch WWE.
Yes.
And he thought Cody Rhodes was hot, especially when he was younger. And he thought Batista, Roman Reigns. Yeah, he thinks they're hot.
Reigns is good looking good.
Yeah, so, but I put on AEW twice. I put on the episode where they did the Broadway musical. And I put on the pay-per-view, and Bear Country walks out, and a couple other things. And I told him that one Nyla Rose is transgender. And, stuff. And he goes, this company is so much gayer than WWE. There's so many more homo homoerotic undertones to this company in WWE. I'm like, really? Goes, yeah, everyone's a twink. He's like this company.
What's a twink again?
A twink is like a little cute gay guy. It's basically like, you know,
well,
like
they are LGBTQ friendly.
Well, but he was saying like, there's so many more. He goes like, I feel like I'm watching gay porn. I watch AEW. Like even like the Broadway musical number and everything. Yeah. He's like, in WWE, I feel like I'm watching something for straight guys, but there's just hot men involved.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said, I feel like I'm watching gay porn. I watch AEW.
I bet you, I'm sure if Tony Khan or AEW heard this, they'd be like, well, thank you. That's a compliment.
That's a compliment. We want to be all inclusive.
We're going for.
But I think he meant it more like there's some creepiness to this show that like it's like kind of under the surface.
Maybe
he didn't feel like it's such a he didn't yeah. That wasn't a compliment to AEW, so I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I didn't think about it the way that's the first time when you mention that right now is the first time I'm realizing it, but I think it's fine. I don't
he,
really
Bear Country walked out, he like looked at me, he goes like, is this for real? And I'm like, yeah, they're Bear Country. And he's like, you know what bear? I know
what a bear is, but that's
and
not
he's the like, do they spell it out on the show? And I'm like, I don't think so. I think like they're just Bear Country. And he's watching Bear Country and they're fighting. I forget. I got to go back to what they were. Oh, so Bear Country's fighting the Jungle Boy. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, this is so gay.
You know what? You're right. It is. Oh man, I didn't even think about that. You're right. I get it. But okay. But here's the thing. They didn't create, like, I know that Bear Brunson was wrestling as Bear Brunson mm-hmm. like 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right. And the guy was probably Bear Boulder and they're just Bear Country. They just, you know, it's not about gays.
I know, but you know how they look. You know what the implications.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's really, you know, it's one of those things that's like, man, now that somebody spelled it out for me, I'm like, I can never unsee it. Right? Like, I'm like, oh man, I don't know why that just fucking flew over my head.
Yeah, because when they came out, he did like a reaction take to me. He's like, Bear Country, you watch this, Bear Country? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh,
this is the best part. You're gonna miss it when he sticks his head fucking between the guy's legs.
All right, let's keep moving because I got a few more things to shit on, and then we got to move on to NXT. So
yeah, we're almost done. Then we get Tony Schiavone. He is interviewing Britt Baker and Rebel. This was very interesting. Britt Baker goes, "Why the hell is like Tay Conti getting like why is the number one contender for Ishida?" And Tony Schiavone is like, "Because she's got a better win record." And she goes, "That shouldn't be about it. It should be about who gets better ratings, who sells more merchandise, who's the most talked about, which is I am number one in all of them." But fine, whatever. If you want to do this whole thing about you have to get the wins in order to get a title shot, I'm going to be on all three shows racking up the wins. I'm going to climb up the ladder. I thought this was a good problem. Britt Baker is easily becoming one of my favorite things on
wrestling. Dude, I was not into Britt Baker. And then a couple of weeks ago, I didn't even see that match yet. A couple weeks ago, it just fucking snapped. Like, she just fucking started working out of nowhere. And I was like, oh, like, kind of like Bayley, where Bayley had that moment. I'm like, oh. And all of a sudden, like, now I think Bayley's, like, the fucking greatest. Like, and same thing with Britt Baker. It's just a moment where it just comes into place. You're like, oh, this girl, she's the best fucking thing on the show. Yeah. She is the best thing on the show, man or woman. She is literally the best thing.
Yes, man, that's a toss-up because to me on AEW, the best thing on AEW is either going to be Britt Baker or Thunder Rosa. It's one of those two.
But see, I'm going to go with Britt Baker. I'll tell you why, because Thunder Rosa is still in contract with NWA.
Okay, if you go the only person who's actually a real roster member of AEW, Britt Baker, number one.
Yeah, Britt Baker
number
is
two. Number two, Thunder Rosa.
Britt Baker is literally the best thing about the show. And this is the funniest thing. In this interview, she completely broke the entire fucking company. Because basically, when she should have just said, what about that fat pig who just got a fucking Dynamite title shot? Like, what are you talking about? I gotta have wins? Just give me a match next week. Like, I'm the only reason people watch this fucking show.
Yeah, yeah.
She broke the like. Doesn't make any sense that Britt Baker has to now go win a bunch of matches when it's like just give her the fucking title shot. Like, just give
people. She can wrestle. She's already had two fucking great matches. I don't want to hear any more excuses that it was the other person. That's at least two. At least two. It's Britt Baker is the best thing on AEW. She's gonna be the biggest star.
She is the not only should they give her the women's title, they should have her beat Kenny Omega for the world title. Like, she is like, that's how good, like, just make her the star of the fucking show. Just have, like, make her the Hulk Hogan. Like, I'm just
saying, this is why I liked Dark, though. Remember, she even had a talk show on Dark that I really fucking liked. I thought it was really funny. I like Britt Baker a lot.
It's like, but it's like shocking because I, 6 months ago, even like 3 months ago, I was like, yeah, whatever, she's okay. How good she's gotten. And now it's shocking how much better she is than everyone else on this awful fucking show. It's like, it's like not even funny how much better she's gotten than everybody on
Britt, the show. Britt Baker is WWE ready. I want to say that. All right. So then match number four, it is the Bunny versus Tay Conte. Bunny's doing these stupid things where she's like, I'm bad. I'm going to turn my head sideways because I'm sexy, strange. I hate that. Stop doing that. It's, you know what I'm talking about? Like the, I'm sexy, but I'm like psychotic. That's why I'm going to turn my head sideways. Tay Conte, I like the way she sells. Her stumbling when she gets hit is
I think it looks great. It looks like a cartoon character.
But you don't like it?
No.
Oh, I like it. It's not bad. But she makes really weird facials. Like, her facials look
when the kick out, their face, it looked like a fucking Home Alone movie. When she kicked out.
She's got, like, two, her facials are too hulky. So it's like
you nailed it right there.
There are some shenanigans with the Dark Order and Shida, who's at ringside, cheering on her number one contender.
Why is Shida
cheering on her number one contender? It's stupid.
Why is she with Dark Order?
She's not. She was just there cheering on Tay Conte.
She just walks out with the Dark Order. Why would she do that?
She didn't walk out with them. She came out later on.
No, she walked out with them, dude. Go back and rewatch.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. Tay Conte technically is not with the Dark Order either. She's associate. I know, I sound like an idiot. Just saying that. Like, you know, technically, she's not with the Dark
Order. The whole Dark Order came out with her, including this fucking little kid. Who, dude, I just think
dude,
the little kid thing
is okay, just... I'm done with this little kid. I'm done with this little kid. Dude, don't get me wrong. Don't even get me started. I understand. What happened is very tragic, and I feel really bad for them, for this kid. But it's April, it's Wednesday night. Doesn't this kid have school? How old is he? What is he doing out at like 9 o'clock? It's after 9 p.m. It's after 9 p.m. What the fuck is this kid doing out after 9 p.m.?
I will give it to you. I guarantee you the kid was in heaven because they keep having Tay Conte hug him.
That yeah, kid, yeah, like, I'm sure, but like
all day long.
Today. It's April.
Yeah,
it's fucking April. It's and like she should be in. Like you gotta also go to school.
I guarantee you. I feel like I should make this a clip to put on Twitter because it would get a lot of hate. I think at this point I don't know how good this is for this fucking kid. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll tell you this. If I was in school with this kid, me and my friends would rip on it. We would literally rip on him every fucking week now. It'd be like, okay, this whole we're bad, sad about your dad dying is over. We're now going to bully you because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but you're not going to know who he is. He's wearing a mask.
All the kids in school know who he is. Are you kidding me? They don't know who he is.
I don't know. I believe his
real name is Brody Lee Jr. They all know. He goes to school with Brody Lee Jr.
Wait, real name is Brody Lee Jr. Brody Lee's not even a real name. That's not his real name. That's a wrestling.
Oh, whatever. They know him.
Yeah.
The kids.
He's like his real name's like Hubert.
I guarantee you, he ran around school being like, "My dad is Brody Lee. My dad is Luke Harper." They all know who he is.
Oh, okay. Well, all I can say is this. Listen. So this happened late. So this is around 9:30, right?
Yeah.
So 9:30 p.m. He's out there doing this. You know it's not like right after it's over, he gets in a car and goes to sleep. Yeah. So what do you guys tell me? He's going to sleep at 11 o'clock at night? Like, this is like, no, don't do this. Like, make him go to school. Like,
there's something they didn't tell us. Because there's no reason this kid should still be on the show. I feel bad his dad died. And it was real sad that his dad
terrible.
But it's like,
but you don't just forget, you don't just forget about your responsibilities. You
just give the kid. Why is this? What? It just also. I do also feel like they're building up to someone beating the kid up. That's the other thing. I think they're building towards the heel just kicking the kid's ass. And when they do it, the mom's gonna go on Instagram like, "This is what Brody Lee would have wanted. This is what he would have wanted for us." You know, when they have like, they're gonna have like someone like Brian Cage or someone put the kid through a table or something.
Alright, so Tay Conte hits her DD Tai finisher on Bunny for the win. I hate the fucking name of that. The DD Tai. Remember the first time they said that? Jarrah was like, "The what?" They said it, it was like last week, the first time they did.
Dude,
it.
JR, every now and then you can tell he fucking is just like, "This show's garbage."
Yeah, and Tony Schiavone was like, "The DD Tai, that's what she calls it." He was like, and then he was like, "Well, whatever it's called, it's effective." All right, so then we get a Red Velvet promo.
I just want to say something.
Yes.
I didn't like the finish of that match, I'll tell you why. Fucking the bunny hits Tay Conti with a kendo stick.
Yes.
Right? Tay Conti sells it for a minute. Then here Kakiro Kuchida gets the fucking thing. Then Tay Conti, remember, she just got hit with a kendo stick in her arm. That's supposed to really hurt your arm.
I thought she got hit in the head with it.
She got hit somewhere. Okay. That's supposed to knock you out or hurt you really bad.
Yeah.
Instead, Tay Conti, it'd be one thing if Tay Conti hit a quick, like hit the DDT real quick. And she goes to the top rope with her. She does all this other shit, and it's like, how are you able? So I guess you're like fucking invulnerable because the kendo stick had no effect on you, you know?
Yeah. People last week were like going gaga over Tay Conte, like, "Oh, that match was so good." I watched it. It was not that good. And let me tell you something about Tay Conte. I think there's a ceiling on her.
Well, the ceiling is when she tells whoever in the back, "I'm not gonna blow you anymore."
Jesus. Yo,
Oh, wait, I think you reached your ceiling. What do you mean? No, we can't.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, what I mean by that is that she is never going to reach, in my opinion, the heights of, like, Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. Like, I just don't see it in her. I just don't see that in her, you know?
I think that the thing with her is that she's more traditionally good-looking than Thunder Rosa or Britt Baker, so they want to, like... You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what it is? It's like, and I know this is going to be, people are going to be annoyed by this, but I don't think Anna Jay will ever be that. Like, I think there's a ceiling on her too. And I think Tay Conte and Anna Jay are on the same level. There's a certain ceiling. And I just like, don't feel it when I watch.
I don't feel it with a lot of the women matches, except for that, you know, they had one amazing women's match, but like one amazing match in 2 years doesn't mean you have a good women's division. It just
it doesn't mean they're not going to be successful.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, let's just cut the bullshit is what I'm trying to say. Don't be like, "Tay Conte had an amazing match." It wasn't that good. All right, let's cut the shit.
If Dexter Lumis was on AEW, these people would be like, "This is such a revolutionary gimmick. Oh my god, WWE would never do this." But because WWE is doing it, like, "Oh, it's so fucking late."
Yeah. That's true. All right, let's Red Velvet cuts a promo. I like Red Velvet. I actually I think she could be good. She cuts a decent promo on what's her name? Jade Cargill, because they have a match next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a clusterfuck.
We'll see. I mean, everyone was saying how great Jade Cargill was, and she wasn't at that
match. No, you talk about someone I see a ceiling on. That's another one.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to go to match number 5, our final match. It is the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley and the Young Bucks. I, for the life of me, could not get into this match.
I hated this.
I don't know. I know it's not the – I felt like I've seen this match every week.
Well, the end. They did this ending weeks ago. They did the same fucking ending where the Young Bucks didn't want to turn on the fucking – But now it's even more retarded because didn't they beat the shit out of the Young Bucks a week ago?
I don't even remember, dude. I don't even know.
Dude, this was it. Just first of all, I would say to the guys, like the Young Buck guys, I don't understand how these guys book themselves like idiots. Like I'd be like, dude, you have to Vince McMahon wouldn't book you this stupid. Like, he wouldn't. Even if he wanted to bury you, he wouldn't make you guys look this fucking dumb. And I'm counting Kenny Omega in this. Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers beat the shit out of Young Bucks. The Young Bucks, I guess, want revenge. And then all of a sudden, they're having the match. Well, we can't do it. We like Kenny Omega. That doesn't make me think, like, oh, my God, what a beautiful friendship you guys have. It makes me think you guys are two fucking idiots.
Yeah.
And, honestly, it would have been better if Kenny Omega was like, I don't want you in my group. You guys are fucking losers.
And then what happens is basically the Good Brothers are taken out. They've got Kenny Omega on the ropes. The Young Bucks can't hit the BTE trigger. They just can't. They just can't. That finish is too devastating. And Moxley's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Just hit it. They're like, no, we can't. So John Moxley's like, get the fuck out of here. I'm going to show you how it's done. He hits the fucking paradigm shift a whole bunch of times. And he's just not relenting. He's hitting it over and over again. Which at this point, yes, it is overkill. And I would have been like, dude, you made your point. Cover him. But no. He wants to go for another one. That's when the Young Bucks go, all right, we had enough of you. At the end of the day, he's still our friend. They start super kicking John Moxley. Kenny Omega covers him for the win. Omega and the Good Brothers win. And afterwards, they hold up Moxley one more time. The Young Bucks kick him. Kenny Omega, Eddie Kingston come out and make a say. He gets killed right away. The Young Bucks, the Bullet Club have now reunited. It is the Bucks are in it. Like, they hugged.
But they reunited like 2 months ago.
Yeah. The Bucks are in it. The Good Brothers are in it. The Omega is in it. They're all in it together. And this was stupid.
This was hard. Dumb. This was
you. It made everything you said months ago correct.
What did I say?
That you were like, oh, this was like, no, like, I remember I said, like, initially I was like, I think the Young Bucks are being hesitant in the beginning when they didn't want to throw up the fucking. And you were like, no, they're just shitty actors. Trust me, they're going to be in the group. Yeah, well, fucking turns out they're all in the fucking group. It doesn't fucking matter.
No. So this was storyline. Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers reunite in Impact. They come over to AEW. The Young Bucks are hesitant. We never get a reason, but they join anyway. We don't get it. Then all of a sudden, like, the hesitation turns to, like, hey, the Good Brothers are assholes. The Good Brothers and Kenny Omega then beat the shit out of them. And then a week later, the Young Bucks are like, oh, but we like Kenny Omega so much, we can't beat him up. And then they just join the group anyway. Now, tell me, if I pitch that storyline to anyone, if I'm Vince McMahon and I'm sitting there with fucking Seth Rollins and be like, yeah, Roman Reigns and the Usos want you to join the group. You're weird about it. You join the group. They beat the shit out of you. Then you join the group anyway. Seth Rollins would be like, what are you trying to ruin my fucking career? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, even though he's a company, he'd be like, that's fucking stupid. But that's what they do. And everyone on the internet is like, oh my God, AEW. Dude, just if Vince McMahon did this shit, you'd be like, Vince McMahon's trying to ruin the career of the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega. They should have signed with New Japan for 9,000 years. Oh my God. But they're literally ruining their own career. You can't blame Vince McMahon. It's just so fucking bad.
It was bad. This episode of Dynamite, it was bad.
Dude, and you know what? If you're going to do this, maybe have a promo, and I don't know, tell me if they had this last week or not, where the Young Bucks are like, look, we really don't want to go against you, Kenny. We really care about you, but you attacked us. So I guess we'll team with John Moxley. We really want to hurt you, though, but we got to teach you a lesson. Like, just give me a promo or something where it's like, these guys are conflicted. Instead of just try to make them look somewhat intelligent.
Yeah.
I don't even like these Young Bucks. I should be cheering that they've driven their own company to the ground. I fucking hate these guys. But instead, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. No, you're right. All right, let's talk about something that is
dude,
good.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I fucking hate them. I fucking hate the Young Bucks. I fucking hate them. I couldn't book them this badly trying. I would feel like if I got the book at AEW, like, I want to ruin their careers. I fucking hate these guys. They have no talent. Dude, and I thought of this storyline. I'm like, no, there's no way they're going to agree to this. They're not that fucking stupid. I have to think of a better way to ruin their careers. Like, how do they?
That's a good point. You hate the Young Bucks, and even you are like, nobody deserves this shit.
No, I wouldn't do this to them. I feel like they would just be like, no, we're not going to do that. You're an idiot.
Even these guys don't deserve the shitty story, and I hate these guys. All right, so we're going to go talk about something really good. NXT TakeOver, Stand and Deliver, Night 1. There is a pre-show match, was one, and it was on Peacock. It is Toni Storm versus Zoe Stark, which shows you how fucking stacked their roster is if this is the pre-show match. But I felt like this match under-delivered. And Tony Stark wins with a cradle. Underdelivered. I felt like with these two guys, they should have been a little more, but maybe it's because they were like,
well, here is the news for you. You gotta watch the pre-shows live because they're not archived on Peacock. I only could watch TakeOver. I couldn't see this match. I wanted to see this match. I couldn't see it on Peacock.
What do you mean it's archived?
You can't watch the pre-show on demand. It's not there.
Yeah, but don't they have it like now stored?
With the stored version starts off in the middle of the signature, not even the start of the signature of fucking TakeOver, the middle, you know, the WWE signature. Dun, 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 dun. It starts off in the middle. Dun, 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 dun. Like, it doesn't even start at the beginning of the signature. And then it just goes right into TakeOver. There's no pre-show. You can't watch the pre-show on demand. You can't
That's stupid. That Peacock is dumb.
You have to watch the pre-show. Maybe the pre-show's on YouTube. So tonight, you're going to watch Impact first because you have to watch it on Twitch, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the pre-shows on YouTube. I gotta think they put the regular pre-shows on YouTube.
Wait, there's a pre-show tonight too?
Yeah, and this guy, I think there's gonna be a match. I just haven't seen if they announced.
Wait, the pre-show though would start before Impact because Impact's at 8 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock is Being the Elite, and at 7 o'clock is the pre-show for.
Well, I'm not watching Being the Elite.
All right, so then watch the pre-show, then go to fucking.
Oh, you mean. Before the Impact.
Yes, that's what I meant. Sorry. Before.
Yeah. You know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to have both on.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see who's going to have which match. Maybe I'll watch both.
Yeah, watch being the Impact. What the fuck it's called?
Yeah.
And then before the Impact.
Yeah.
And then watch that. But yeah, that fucking pissed me because I wanted to see that match because I do like Zoe Stark.
I like both of them, but it was underwhelming. It wasn't like I wasn't blown away.
I wanted to see it. Yeah. I'm so fucking pissed. Anyway, let's go to the main show.
All right, so NXT TakeOver is live, and they get Nina Strauss, who is Alice Cooper's guitarist. She does the national anthem, and it is a packed CWC. There's like over 100 fans all there, and they also have the screens. People are wearing masks. They're not going to be able to cheer because it's indoors, so they have to clap. The clapping crowd, like the way they do in Japan, and they're gonna do fake noises though, different than Japan. Japan doesn't do fake noises, but they're gonna do fake noises. Mm-hmm. It is what it is, guys. It's indoors, just take it for what it is.
I really hope they don't do fake noise for us.
Well, yeah, so I got into a little discussion with somebody about this. They didn't like the fact that there was like there's fans, but they're not allowed to cheer. That's stupid. And that they, if you're, you should just go all the way, all in or not all that. But it's like, listen, it's just indoors. Yeah, it's just what it is. It's just what it is. It's either this or no fucking fans. You know, just be grateful that we have this and take it, you know? And
you know what? When they bang on the glass, that kind of adds a lot to it, I think.
Yeah. And here's the thing. WrestleMania, though, is outdoors.
Yes, you can
so that cool. You can cheer. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is indoors. So you can't. And that's why there's going to be fake noise. That's fine. We're going to go into our first official match of TakeOver. Pete Dunne versus Kushida. I was actually looking forward to this match. I think it's the first time these guys are matching up, and I fucking liked it a lot.
Yeah, this was good.
Pete Dunne hits a fucking bitter end for the win. Well, I don't know what else to say. This was a good match. Watch this match. This blew away the fucking opening match on AEW. Fucking great.
This great was shit. Good. This was really good. I really enjoyed it. I could see the strategy that both guys have. You could see it working. Great match, and I gotta give it up. It was a very good, hard-hitting technical match. This is, by the way, when we review NXT, the show becomes very boring because we're just like, that was good. This was good.
Yeah. And people
I'll tell you what they are.
Yeah, I know people have said like they didn't like Kushida. Mm-hmm. Like they go like, oh, like everyone talked about how so good he was in Japan. He comes here. He hasn't shown me anything. Watch this match and you'll see he's fucking good.
I think he's been having great matches the whole time. Even on 205 Live. He's Kushibushi.
Yeah, he's good. Kushibushi's great. Match number two. It is the six-way match. So what happens is every two men start off. Every 3 minutes, someone else comes in. Winner of this will fight Johnny Gargano tonight on NXT TakeOver Night 2 for the North American title. First two in the ring are Swerve and Leon Ruff on TV in USA. They almost missed the opening fucking spot of the match.
Well, you didn't watch it on Peacock?
No, I watched it on TV.
Why didn't you watch it on Peacock?
because I have a ability to fucking fast forward through shit.
Oh, okay.
Usually what I do is I fast forward to people walking.
So you missed it. So on the Peacock feed,
yes,
Leon Ruff got attacked by Isaiah Swerve Scott as soon as he walked out, and he beat the shit out of him in the aisle for a long time. Yeah, during the whole commercial break.
Okay, I'm actually glad I didn't have to watch that part.
Okay. No, yeah. But I thought like, oh, is Leon Ruff going to get early elimination? It was a good way to start the match.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, so they start when on TV. Actually, this is actually good that you watched it on Peacock and I watched it on TV so we can compare what happened. So on TV, after commercial break, the first thing we see is fucking like Leon Ruff. He's still got his like jacket on and he fucking like drop kicks Swerve or something in the ring. And as soon as he drop kicks him, the bell rings, right?
Yeah.
And then they never show you what happened during the commercial break. He takes off his jacket. These two start fighting. And then Bronson Reed comes out third. And then Dexter Lumis comes out fourth. And no, Grimes. Grimes comes out fourth. I mean, Cameron Grimes. By the way, Cameron Grimes comes out fourth. And then fifth was Dexter Lumis. Now, when Dexter Lumis comes out, Swerve gets pinned. They did not show what happened to him in the ring. They missed it. They just showed him getting pinned for some reason. Did they show that on Peacock why he got fucking like was people were able to pin him?
Oh, who got pinned again?
Swerve. Oh, Leon Ruff gets pinned.
They showed it. I forgot how, but he basically was getting the shit kicked out of him during the commercial.
Oh, okay. Yeah, something happened with Cameron Grimes. Swerve grabbed Grimes, threw him out, and then he fucking pins.
Yes, they were working together, and then Grimes hit a good move, and then Swerve just threw him out of the ring to pin him.
They never showed that on the fucking thing. They just showed
him. I think they didn't give a shit about the USA feed. They were all about the Peacock feed
last time. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think they were like, they were only showing it on USA for contract obligations, but it was, when you watch it on Peacock, it was really filmed, presented like a pay-per-view. It wasn't presented like a TV show.
Dude, this felt like a pay-per-view watching it on TV. I was watching this show. I couldn't believe this was on TV for free.
I know.
I was like, this is so good. I was like, this is so good. So Swerve pins Leon Ruff. He's out. Then LA Knight comes out, and LA Knight starts cutting a promo. And he's cutting a promo on and he starts getting beat up. And then what happens is they do a jackknife cover. What happens is Dexter Lumis has somebody in the silence, but then fucking LA Knight hits a jackknife cover on Dexter Lumis for Dexter Lumis' second man eliminated. Afterwards, LA Knight is gloating and turns over. He gets hit by all three other guys in the ring. And then Swerve covers LA Knight. So now LA Knight is eliminated, and then he rolls out to the outside, and then he runs to Dexter Lumis, and they're going to be in a feud, which is fine. Then there's three men left: Grimes, Swerve, and fucking Bronson Reed. Swerve rolls up Cameron Grimes, holding the tights for Grimes to get eliminated, and then it's one on one. Bronson Reed hits the tsunami splash on Swerve for the win. Before that, Swerve hits like four fucking house call kicks to the head. Bronson's not going down. He just can't put this guy away, which allows him to hit the tsunami splash on Swerve for the wins. Bronson Reed is going to be fighting Johnny Gargano night two. I like this match. I like this match too. It was good.
I liked it. Here's my thing. I think they need to move LA Knight to the main roster right away. It is fucking weird to me. I feel like this entire show was booked by Triple H. Except for when LA Knight walks out and then all of a sudden Vince McMahon takes over, because they are going out of their way to make him look like an idiot. And
yeah, he is looking like an idiot.
Yeah. And it's like, why did you sign that? Like, they never do that on NXT. They don't go out of their way to make people look stupid. Why did you sign him if you were going to make him look this stupid?
Unless they're testing him. You know how WWE does this weird testing thing? Like, let's see if he's humble. Yeah. You know,
but it also the guy is like 38. It's like, I don't know. I feel like he would be better on the main roster than on here.
Yeah. I remember like his first like debut match, he fucking lost to Bronson Reed.
Yeah. I was like, why would you do that
to him? Yeah. And I really feel like they're trying to do this thing where they're trying to like test him to see.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this show, the only parts of the show for like Vince McMahon was, or like Bruce Pritchard or any of that old, like, was in charge was when he walked out. And then once he got eliminated, it became like the NXT again.
Yeah.
But it was a great match. I just, I don't really want to watch Bronson Reed fight Johnny Gargano, but it's fine.
No, you know what? If you could have picked someone, who would you have picked?
Dexter Lumis, I would have picked.
To continue I would have picked Cameron Grimes.
Or Cameron Grimes. Yeah, but they never do heel versus heel in WWE.
No, I don't think Cameron Grimes is a heel anymore.
He is technically a heel. He paid off Isaiah Swerve.
Oh man, I feel like he's getting over. Like,
I would have liked Cameron Grimes too. I don't know. I kind of don't see anything in Bronson Reed.
I think they're trying to present him like a heel, but the fans are not accepting. I don't think
I like him now. I used to hate him.
Yeah. Now we come to the real fucking creme de la creme of the show. This is at the night. This is gonna fight into the start of the second hour. It is match number 3, Ciampa, or Tabasco champion, as I like to call him, versus Walter for the NXT UK title. Walter at this point has been holding the title for 730 plus days. Now, this is longer than Okada. I don't know if you guys remember Okada in his fourth IWGP title reign. It was like 720 days or something like that. And it was the longest of the modern era, and he had 12 defenses. The only thing is, Walter has actually had less defenses. He's had like 9 or something like that. This is his 9th one. And granted, 6 of those months were, you know, during the pandemic where he couldn't do it. And he admits to it. During the pre-show, he did talk about how, like, yeah, everyone talks about how I have the longest WWE reign right now, but it's also 6 months where I wasn't doing anything. So I'm actually really playing catch up now. But I think it's important to bring this up, because if you believe that titles there actually mean something, this is great. This is a good point to have. This was a fantastic match. I don't even know how to describe what happens. There's so much stuff happens. Walter is in a tail of the tape. He's like 100 pounds heavier than this fucking guy, right? Mm. He's like 5 inches taller than this guy. He's got this chop. There's this point where he's chopping Ciampa, and Ciampa can't take it. He rolls. He's all outside. He lays him out on the fucking announce table, and Walter goes for a chop. Ciampa moves. He fucking chops the announce desk like covering in half. And now his fucking right hand is fucked up. And they're just, the whole point of this match now is just selling this right hand. Because he can't use his right hand, he doesn't have good grip. He can't chop. One of his weapons is down, which allows the smaller guy to now have a believable upper hand of like, this guy has a shot against this monster. There's this thing where during the commercial break, they're doing picture in picture. They show Tabasco champion just going, doing these running clotheslines, like just clothesline after clothesline after clothesline after clothesline, slowly bringing him down. I thought it was beautiful. It looked great. I can only imagine how great it looked with fucking audio and shit.
Looked great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
You should watch it on Peacock. You're a disgrace. You can always watch the replay on Peacock.
Yeah. And then the finish comes when Walter, by the way, Walter is doing a great job selling. Every time he's covering the guy, he's going like, fuck, like his hands all fucked up, and he's like a crippled. He hits 2 power bombs on Tabasco Champion. Tabasco Champion still kicks out. Finally, Tabasco Champion gets on his feet. He's all fucking wobbly. He's on his glass legs. Walter, with all his strength left, just hits him with 1 fucking chop. Remember, he couldn't hit a chop with his right hand. Hits him with the 1 fucking big chop, covers him. 1, 2, 3, he beats him with a chop. I've never seen anybody beat somebody with a chop, bro. Like, in the modern time, at least. And it all made sense in the storytelling of this match.
Having a TV time limit made this match 20 times better, because I feel like with so many, and this goes for Johnny Gargano, Adam Cole, and I feel like this is going to be what Adam Cole does tonight. They just do so many false finishes. And you think it's a great match, but sometimes it's like, especially with Tabasco Champion, some of his matches have like 97 false finishes. But because they had a time limit, they had an actual fight. So when the chop beat Tabasco Champion, it didn't feel like it was out of nowhere. It felt like, that's because Walter's just so much of a badass. So think the timeline made Tabasco Champion work 20 times smarter, because he likes to Somebody called on the internet the epic wrestling style. So, like, this is going to be an epic battle. The one thing I hated was, is this the match where they chanted Fight Forever? They added that chant.
Yeah, they did pipe in the Fight Forever. Chant
because
I fucking hate that.
I don't chant. Want, look, I don't want people to fight forever. I want some, I want Walter to win because I don't like, I'm not a big fan of, I don't really like Tabasco. I want Walter to win. I don't want them to fucking fight for like 50 minutes. What's the point of that? It makes both of them look like idiots.
Yeah.
They can't get the job done.
I was talking to my friends and were like, I don't mind it always staying in like the Thunderdome or from like that. You know why? Because I'm even though there's no fans, that also means I don't have to hear these stupid ass fucking chants. You know?
They chant, the fans in AEW aren't obnoxious. They kind of add to the show.
Yeah, but I don't like obnoxious chants.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many of them, and Fight Forever is one of them. But
get ready for Saturday.
This match was so fucking good. If you watched Walter versus Dragunov, you're going to love this match. And if you did not watch Walter versus Dragunov, you will love that match because it's fucking just as it's
Walter,
up there with
this match. In less than 2 hours, Walter's got another big match coming up.
Yeah, he's got a
is match. Is that only going to be an hour long, NXT UK? Or
I have no idea. We're about to find out. Yeah, by the way, Ciampa came out. I mean, we're doing a lot of Walter praise, but yeah, Ciampa was good in this match too.
Ciampa was good.
He came out with new gear. His new gear looks good. I liked it.
I think he should shave the beard or something.
Yeah, he should shave the beard. I had to stop watching after this because this match was so fucking good and it drained me.
Oh wow,
how good it was that I was like.
Actually, I did. I actually, yo, dude, for real, I actually took a nap after this match. I got up. I got back up.
Yeah, this match was draining. Yeah, this match. Like, you know what it is? Because you're so, like, invested in it. When you get invested in a match, like, your body tenses up.
Yeah.
And you when it's over, you just kind of, like, let everything go. And I was so exhausted from this. I went for a walk. I was like, I need to go for a walk.
This was last night?
Yeah, this was last night. I went out for a walk at, like, 11 o'clock or something. Like, it was after 11. I found out there's a fucking nightclub right across the street from me. A lounge that's open till 3 a.m. Maybe it could be like, I'm going to one day go in there and be like, do you guys ever like consider like having like somebody run a comedy show here? It's like a big fucking lounge. There's like nobody in it because right now nobody's out.
But you should bring back the Ride Daddy show.
Yeah. And then, I had to go for a walk and I finished the rest of the show this morning because I was just like, I want to be fair to the rest of this fucking show, you know? Mm-hmm.
This wasn't my favorite match in the show. So,
really? Yeah. I think this was match of the whole week. That's how willing.
That's easy, dude. Raw and Hall of Fame and NWA Power and AEW are the only things so far.
I'm saying Walter versus Ciampa is going to be anything tonight.
You think it's so? I think Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole are going to.
That's how much I believe in Walter and Ciampa.
But also, Walter's got a match in an hour, bro.
Oh my gosh, that's right. Walter could beat Walter's match.
Yeah. So we got we got a few more words, and I got to upload this. Yeah. So the tag match.
Wait, they show the Frankie Monet vignette, which we talked about. Then we go to our...
What do you think of the name change?
Frankie Monet?
Yeah.
Actually, it's not as bad as...
You know what? Taya if Valkyrie. She's going to be more... Like, Taya Valkyrie to me sounds like a badass. But if she's going to be more like... I kind of feel like they're going to make her more like a Carmella type. Like, hey, what's
yes.
Then I think the name change is okay.
Yes, I agree. I feel the same way. When she first came out in Impact, she was supposed to be a Valkyrie type character, and that's why it was called Taya Valkyrie.
Yeah, but she's kind of not that anymore.
Yeah, she evolved. Yeah, so I totally get it. Match number four, it is a triple threat for the vacant tag titles because Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch had to give it up. Danny Burch got injured. It's MSK versus Grizzled Young Veterans versus Legado del Fantasma. Another fucking fantastic.
This is my favorite match of the night.
Oh, this match was really good too.
This match blew really everything away. Good.
Oh my god!
These are the tag matches. AEW has so many great tag teams. These are the matches they should be having every week. And you can literally have a different three-way on AEW for 2 months straight and not repeat the same teams.
Legado del Fantasma. Mm-hmm. They had these new gear, matching gear. They, out of all the tag teams, I felt like they, in the beginning of this match, were doing the most tandem tag team work.
Yeah.
And Vic Joseph. By the way, commentary was spot on tonight. Everybody was good. Beth was really good. Wade was good. Vic Joseph makes a point. He said, Raul Mendoza's been slaving away in his company for 5 years, ever since the Cruiserweight Classic. That's where he came out from. Cruiserweight Classic, he was a jobber for like 3 years.
He hated women.
Yeah, he fucking jobbed. He was losing to everybody. This is his moment. He was like, he's been fighting to this moment. I was so invested in Legado del Fantasma winning. They were doing so good. But, oh, man, once they hit their finisher, that fucking Inzaguri fucking Russian leg sweep, and then you get the pin, I knew it was over for them. The fucking Grizzled Young Veterans hit the Doomsday Device on one of the Legado del Fantasmas on the outside of the ring. All the way on the other side, he hit a fucking burning hammer on the other one. MSK's, and then they have MSK, Grizzled Young Veterans, stand up in the ring. MSK hits the assisted moonsault neckbreaker on James Gibson for MSK to become the new NXT tag champions. This was a fantastic match. I can't believe this is the Rascals.
Dude, can I say something? It occurred to me. There were three people in this match that nobody gave a fuck about in TNA, and they were just doing dumb shit. And then you realize it's never the talent. You could have put Bear Country. Let's say like you took out the Phantasma and put in Bear Country, or you put in the Luchasaurus, Jurassic Express. It's never the talent. It's how you present them. It's the people behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Because
you have people in NXT. I'm not going to say WWE because I don't even know Junior knows that MSK was hired. You have people in NXT that believe in MSK. And believe in DJ Zion.
Zima Ion, who is now Joaquin Wild, yes.
Joaquin Wild. And the way they're presented, these guys are presented like fucking superstars. And it's like...
Oh my gosh, night and day.
It's just the way you present these guys and the way you... Everything that the MSK does is to their strengths. It's not to their weaknesses. They're not sitting around cutting promos. They can barely, you know... They recreate the 70s show. They're not doing, go to Wrestle House. Not doing that. They're just fucking having amazing matches. And I think now they're probably the best tag team in the, I hate to be Dave Meltzer, the best tag team in North America. I'll just say the best tag team in the world right now is MSK. You can't touch them.
I don't know if they're the best tag team, but they're really fucking good.
Well, best tag team in WWE, including NXT and NXT.
No, not even WWE. Dude, right now, I know AEW has the greatest tag team roster of all time. I know that guy. But I think there are some really good fucking tag teams in WWE right now. And I think this is three of them. I don't even know if MSK is better than Grizzled Young Veterans or Legado. I think
MSK is fucking awesome. Big fan. Great. So far, my match of the week, which again isn't saying much because we're only into night three. We'll see what happens when we're at the end of all nine nights. But so far, that's my match of the week.
This was a very good match. If you guys think it's a match of the week, I can buy that. So we get Stephanie McMahon. She's sitting at ringside, and she's got Saray. Saray from Japan is there. So she's going to be probably starting up soon. Then we go to match number five. It is the women's title match. Io Shirai, who's been on a tear, is going up against Raquel Gonzalez. Dakota Kai tries to interfere early on. The referee kicks her out. I guess it's no DQ.
Yeah.
The kicks are out, so it's one-on-one. Io Shirai hits like a gazillion moonsaults in this match. I do not think Raquel Gonzalez, I think she's limited because it's like Io Shirai just hitting moonsault after moonsault. It's all she could do. There's this one spot where they fight all the way to the entrance.
That was cool.
Oh, yeah. She climbs into the skull. She does a fucking – jumps off the skull. That looked really cool. Io Shirai had new gear. It looked like – you know what she looked like? Siren from Marvel Comics.
I see it. I didn't pick up on that because I'm racist.
I'm sure that's not where she got it from, but it looked like that. And this is a rather quick match. Raquel Gonzalez is just getting beat on the whole time. And all of a sudden, near the end, she hits a clothesline. And then she hits her single arm powerbomb to win the NXT women's title. I was very surprised by this. Although this was not a bad match, this was the weakest match on the show.
It was still very good. That
all the matches were really good.
I think they had to give it to Raquel. After doing what she did to Rhea Ripley, they have to give it to her, at least for a while. It's her turn to have it. And Io Shirai is a great champ. I hope they don't put Io Shirai in the main roster. I would sooner move Shotzi or Candice LeRae before her. Because I think Io Shirai still has a lot of great matches left.
Oh my god. Do you think they did this because they're moving her?
I hope not. I hope they are.
Oh,
no. There's so many other women
I would consider that. Oh, they might be right though.
Maybe they're like, we're done with Asuka. Let's
move. Yeah, Asuka's old now. We gotta replace her.
We got a new Asian. Damn it.
Asuka's 36.
I think Io Shirai will sink like a stone in the main roster. I think she'll be our main event. I have a really bad feeling about her on the main roster. So
yeah, I don't,
though I'm like, she's one of the best women wrestlers in the company. I just can't see Vince McMahon getting behind her.
I mean, forget the company. Io Shirai is one of the best women's wrestlers right now.
Period. Yes. Remember, what's his name? Is that Dave Meltzer was like, yeah, she's not even that good.
He said that?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. Anyway, that's a whole. The match was good. All in all, this was an amazing way to end the Wednesday night era. And NXT didn't win the battle, but they won the war because they became the show that fucking AEW claims.
I mean, if this is the last night of these guys going head to head, man, NXT went out with a fucking bang.
NXT fucking kicked them in the balls and said,
"This was such a good show. I don't know how night two has got to top this. I don't know how
night two is gonna be very good." Okay, so guys, I'm gonna upload this right now before NXT UK. So if you're watching this Thursday afternoon, we're going to be back tonight, late tonight, with NXT UK, NXT TakeOver Night 2, and Impact's debut on Thursday night. We got a lot to cover, but it's WrestleMania week. And, dude, we got a lot of hits on the Hall of Fame video, so that's good.
Did we?
Yeah, I didn't even promote it, so that's good. Okay. All right, we'll see you later
tonight. See you guys later.